So enough on the chatter, and so y'all came to hear a word from the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles, on your electronic devices. Look to the screen as we read Psalm 124. Psalm 124. Psalm 124, I read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says this. Hold on to your seat for what I'm about to say. What if the Lord had not been on our side? I can stop right there and we can just praise for the rest of the service. Let all Israel repeat. What if the Lord had not been on our side? When people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger. The waters would have engulfed us, and a torrent would have overwhelmed us. Yes, the raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives. Praise the Lord, who did not let their teeth tear us apart. We escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken, and we are free. What a free people at the house today. Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Before you take your seat, can you give God a praise? What if the Lord was not on your side? I thank God that he is for us and with us. Hallelujah and amen. I want to preach from the thought, never would have made it without you. Amen. Never would have made it without you, Lord. So this month we celebrate what we in America refer to as Black History Month. It's an opportunity for us to spotlight, to celebrate, to commemorate the achievements of the many African Americans that have accomplished great things in this country. They've accomplished great things in this country and for this country. We think about those heroes of the past and the present. We're reminded of people like Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, Sojourner Truth, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, George Washington Carver, Thurgood Marshall, Langston Hughes, Madam C.J. Walker. We think about the many Americans today that live in the here and the now and the present that have made great contributions to our country. We think about those people today that have made contributions to science and medicine, to law and to politics, to sports and entertainment. We think about the many people who are our unsung heroes, whom we refer to as Big Mama and Papa, the contributions they made to our families in hard and difficult times. But here's the truth. In America today, there are people that don't want to celebrate Black history. Because for a lot of folk, it makes people feel uncomfortable. Because you cannot talk about African-American history. You cannot talk about Black history without being reminded of racism and oppression and slavery. In 2024, there is a regime, there is a group of people that want to take African-American studies out of college universities. There are people that want to take anything that has to deal with the issue of slavery from the textbooks of our people in junior and high school. They feel like this makes them feel uncomfortable, that it causes some to feel guilt and angst and shame and psychological distress and disorder. But make no mistake about it. No matter how uncomfortable it may be, we cannot deny the truth of what's taking place in this country. And here's the reality, that history is history. And the purpose is not to make people feel uncomfortable. That little Johnny, who happens to be a junior high student, high school student, he happens to be white, that it's not meant to tell little Johnny, listen, this is about, little Johnny didn't do it. It's simply to tell people in America that this happened in this country. It's not meant to make little Mary, high school student, who happens to be black, to feel like you're less than, that you ought to be ashamed. That after all, she lives in a gated community. She comes from an affluent family. That she's far removed from slavery in America. But little Mary needs to know. Little Johnny needs to know. Because when we celebrate African-American history, we celebrate American history. And we have this wonderful opportunity in this great and beautiful country to rewrite the narrative of the past. There were some meant for evil. Good God, God meant it for good. And it's this God that we worship and celebrate today. So no matter what color your skin may be, your ethnicity, your background, your socioeconomic status, if you are a born-again believer, that we come together and we collectively, we thank and praise and worship the God that brought us out, that brought us through, that brought us over. We thank God for the courageous white people and black people and all people that worked to break down the barriers and the walls that separated us, that helped to bring equality in this country. And still today, the chant of God's people, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that our chant ought to be that we never would have made it if it weren't for the Lord that was on our side. Can I get some witnesses in the house that the only way we made it, the only way we make it over, the only way we make it through is through the blood of Jesus Christ. We never would have made it without the Lord on our side. So in our text for this morning, we hear the voice of a great Israel king by the name of David. And David seeks to engrave on the hearts into the hearing of God's people for all time this same familiar chant that we sing today. As David says, what if it had not been for the Lord on our side? And so in this psalm, David is recounting the way God rescued Israel from some great danger. That we're not privy to what was going on. Perhaps they were fighting against the Philistines. We don't know. But what David makes clear in these scriptures is that surely the enemy would have overcome them. Surely this great enemy would have overtaken them and destroyed them. But God was on their side. It was only by God that they overcame. God delivered them. When they could not save themselves, guess what? God saved them. This is our story today too. That we cannot save ourselves. That only God saves. And so like David, Psalm 124 should call us to move from thinking to thanking. We were born in a desperate situation called sin. Oh, but God, through Christ, has made a way for us to be saved. And for those of us that have been rescued by him, this psalm should cause us to praise God, to speak out, to lift up our voices, to lift up our hands in praise to God, in gratitude to him. Let me ask you, is there anybody this morning that realized that you wouldn't have made it out of your situation if it were not for the Lord on your side? If you don't get anything else, I want to tell you that this morning. It was nobody God, but God that did it for you and for me. Can we take a praise break? Let it marinate. Think about the stuff that you've been through. And you're still in your right mind. That it was nobody but God. Nobody but God. Nobody but God. So I want us to consider just a few things, y'all, and then we'll move on with the day. Things that can cause us to move from thinking, from questioning what if, to thanking God for all that he has done. So first we consider what could have happened. What could have been? What if God wasn't on our side? You know, what if is that question that that can lead us down this long and winding road? How many times have we asked that question in life? What if? It's a question that oftentimes bends to the negative. We ask questions like, what if I'd have chose that job instead of the one I have? That we think about better options. What if I stayed longer? What if I live somewhere else other than where I live right now? What if I married him or her? You better love the one you're with. But we ask these questions, y'all. What if? But we don't have the answers to the what ifs of life. You know, sometimes we play like life is like, let's make a deal. That if I would have chose door number one instead of door number three, I'd be in a better place. How do you know that? There's only one person that knows that, and that's God. And the last time I checked, God can open doors that no man can close. And God can shut some doors that no man can open. God is sovereign all by himself. And so as Christians, we need to know that. That in our what if questions, that we serve a sovereign God, that he never stops working. Joyce, he never stops working on our behalf. He's always working, that he is a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He's a way maker. And he never stops working on your behalf and my behalf. He's God all by himself. And so this should give us some peace and hope. That y'all, sometimes in life we can take a whole lot of left turns. But we serve a God can take all the left turns you make and make everything all right. Oh, Romans 8:20, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. That he's a sovereign God and he loves us and he's always working on our behalf. And so we see in this question, though, that we can use this what if question to the positive. But behind the question that we see that David is asking today, it's a response, a question of praise and trust in God who has saved his people and who continues to keep his people. We see in this psalm, let's just look at the verses, y'all. Psalm 124, starting at verse 1a. What if the Lord had not been on our side? David knows that the Lord was their only, they were in trouble. They could not save themselves, that God was their only hope. And so the question of if, it's a resounding declaration of Israel's dependence on God. It's a resounding declaration of Israel's dependence upon God. Let me put it this way. What if my mother and my father decided not to take care of me when I was a child? That I wouldn't have had a roof over my head, clothes on my back, shoes on my feet. I would have been destitute. So my declaration that my dependence was upon my parents. What about that good job that you might have today? That it was your buddy, it was your friend, that you were on LinkedIn, that somebody found you out there and they helped you to get that job. That you depended upon. Without that person, you never would have got the job. What about trying to make it through algebra in high school? What about that favorite teacher that sat with you? What about that tutor that helped you to understand algebra? It still don't make sense to you today, but they helped you. Without you, you would not have, you were dependent upon that teacher. Thank God for the teachers in the house today. Thank God for the patient teachers in the house today, for folk like me. We never would have made it without the Lord. What could have been? What if God wasn't on our side? David gives a declaration of dependence, but also a call to praise. He says in 1b in verse 2, let all Israel repeat. What if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us? So after his initial declaration, David calls on the nation of Israel, the entire nation, to add their voices to this praise. This is the call for the people to join him in praising God for God's deliverance. That's what I love, church, y'all. That's why I love corporate worship and praise. Because we come together to agree as a people of God that if God were not on our side, we would not be here today. That we've been through some attacks. We've been through some ups and downs. We've had some defeats. We've had some victories. But through it all, y'all, it's God that kept us. Can y'all just repeat after me? What if the Lord had not been on our side? Now say it again. Say it like you. What if the Lord had not been on our side? Now make it personal. What if the Lord had not been on my side? Now can you give God some praise in the house today? Let it marinate. Let it sink in. So this brings us to some specifics in the next few verses. What would have happened, David is asking, if the Lord had not been on their side? Let me read real quickly verses 3-5. He says, they would have swallowed us alive in the burning anger. The waters would have engulfed us. A torrent would have overwhelmed us. Yes, the raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives. So David gives us this very vivid imagination of what would have happened if God had not been on their side, if there would have not been a divine intervention. He describes an enemy who was bigger and stronger and badder and fierce, an enemy that would defeat them. He says, I don't know about you. I don't have to use my imagination very much to think about when I look back over my life. I don't have to use a whole lot of imagination to think about what would have happened if God had not been on our side. This depression would have defeated me. Addiction would have assaulted me. My failures would have been final. My past would still have power over me. Chaos would have crushed me. Misery would have messed all over my life. Evil desires would have conquered me and kept me, but God was on my side. I have a reason to praise God. The story of Israel, y'all, it's our story. Not just African-American people, white, black people, wherever you're from. It's our story. It's a human story, but it's a divine story. Because sin would have overtaken each and every one of us if the Lord had not been on our side. I love what Romans 8:1 says. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That I don't have to walk around with my head hung down in shame because I know the Lord Jesus Christ and he has forgiven me and he loves me and that's enough. Yeah. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? There is a very real enemy, a very real devil that is against us. That he is an accuser of God's people. But God said to you, there is no condemnation. If you are in me, there is no condemnation. So what are the accusations the devil's bringing against you? Tell him he's a liar and the father of lies. The psalmist said, my foot had almost slipped unless I've seen the goodness of the Lord. Anybody seen the goodness of the Lord in your life? The goodness of God operating and moving in your life and through your life. And his goodness is not predicated upon your goodness. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags before him. But God was so good, y'all, that he decided to save a wretch like me. Yeah. And for that, I'm so glad. Yeah. So what if God wasn't on our side? But not only that, y'all, we see what God did in these last few verses. Praise God, he is on our side. Verses 3-5 focus on what could have happened. Verses 6-7 are about what God has done and praising God for his salvation. That he's saved them from the teeth of an enemy. That like a wild animal that was coming against them, God saved them. Yeah, y'all ever had a vicious dog chase you? And you running with everything that you got and hopes that dog don't get you? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Thank God perhaps you were in your youth and you were fast. Other than he would have got you. But David is saying, listen, like a wild animal, we would have been torn apart. If it were not for the Lord on your side, like a lion that seeks to destroy us, surely the enemy would have devoured us. But the Bible says he goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So you're sitting here, you're breathing, you're alive, you have a relationship with the Lord, only because of God. That the enemy did not destroy you. He did not tear you apart. He did not take you and me out. They were saved from the trap of a hunter. like a bird that's trapped in a cage. Listen, we fluttered through life. We've flown through life, y'all. And somebody can admit today you found yourself trapped. And by trapped, you found yourself in a situation. You found yourself in a circle. You could not get yourself out, no matter how hard you tried. Money couldn't do it. Human ingenuity and wisdom could not do it. Mama could not do it. Daddy could not do it. But God did it. Is that your testimony today? God did it. But when you were alone, when you were broke, busted, and disgusted, when you couldn't figure a way out, God did it for you and God did it for me. While we were yet still in sin, Christ came and he died for us. He died for you and for me. Go on with the text. I love verse 8. Verse 8 reminds us that God's past work is a reminder of his care for us now, and the here and the now, and the here and the now, that God is with us now, that he promised he would never leave us, forsake us. God is with you right now. The God who rescued us, y'all, in the past. The God that saw us through slavery, racism, and oppression. The God that brought white people and black people together to fight for civil rights and equality in America. Is the same God that's with us right now. He's the God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. Y'all, in a world of self-made people who say they pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, for the people that say, listen, I got mine now you need to go and get yours. I think we, the people of God, have a different testimony. That everything that I am, everything that I ever hope to be, is only by the grace and the power of God. That God gets the glory out of my life. All that I am, all that I ever hope to be, is only because of the power of God and his Holy Spirit operating in my life. It was, it will be, and always be, it will be about the Lord who was on our side. That we never would have made it without the Lord. Reverend Boykin, can I get your assistance for a minute? Just come stand right here by me. So, just right there, sir. So how many times have we sat down and watched television? And we've looked at the award shows. I think the Grammys coming on tomorrow. The Grammys and the Oscars, the Emmys, the People's Choice Award, and y'all, the folk come on the stage, and they're the benefactors of a trophy, and they stand there and they open their mouth, they give their acceptance speech by thanking all the people that helped them to get to where they are today. That they thank directors, the production crew, they thank their co-stars. They take about 2 or 3 seconds. They give God some praise, and they move on. They thank mama, they thank daddy, they thank the dog, they thank everybody for allowing them to get where they are in that moment. They say this award is for you. But how many of y'all know they take that award and they take it home to their house and they put it on their shelf? Oh, this award, this trophy is for you, but the war is going home. It's going home with me. Listen, the Bible talks about 5 heavenly crowns mentioned in the New Testament, if you could get that for me, brother. That there are 5 crowns. And one of the crowns is called an imperishable crown. But there's another crown, y'all, that it's called the crown of glory. That's not all. That we have some rewards from the Lord. We have some crowns. There is the crown of rejoicing. But there's another crown, y'all. There is the crown of life. That, y'all, listen, we that believe in Jesus Christ, we have some reward. God has something in store for us. That we have some crowns. And then finally, y'all, there is a crown. There's a crown. What's this crown? This is a crown of righteousness. You look at the word of God in Revelation chapter 4. And you find where it talks about these 24 elders. They symbolize the people of God who've been down and through over mountains and valleys. That these are the redeemed people of God that found themselves once in ruin, that they could not find a way out. But Jesus rescued them, these 24 elders. And the Bible says that they received their crown. But they took their crown and they cast it down at the feet of Jesus. I want to be like the 24 elders. When I think about all that God has done for me, with all the crowns, the crown of righteousness, he is my righteousness. I stand complete. God, this crown is for you. That there is the crown of glory, that he is my glory and the lifter of, this crown is for you. That we cast it at the feet of Jesus. That there is the crown of life. In him we have life. In him we move and have. The crown is for him. I don't know about you. The crown of rejoicing. I rejoice in his name because of what. This crown is for you. That we finally we have the crown, y'all, that's imperishable. And my praise will always be. It will never stop. This crown is for you. We never would have made it without the Lord on our side. When I start thinking, y'all, When I start thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I start thinking. My mouth opens up, my hands go up, and I thank God for all that he's done for me. Some of y'all still looking at me. Think about it, y'all. Think about it for a minute. What has the Lord done for you? Can you take one minute to give praise to God? What has the Lord done for you? What has he brought you out of? How has he delivered you? How has he kept you? I'm going to run on because of what God has done for me. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, because I never would have made it. Joyce, I never would have made it. I'd have been dead a long time ago. I'd have been crazy and out of my mind. I never would have made it without the Lord on my side. Hallelujah. So how do we not only take this message to heart, but how do we put it into practice? I just want to offer us three things before we leave. That we ought to put this message into practice. If we know with a certainty that we never would have made it without the Lord on our side, then when we think about it, we begin to thank God. But practically, what should we do? Listen regularly on the real. Reflect on your life and what it would have been like without the Lord on your side. Sit in your quiet time and let it marinate. Think about it on the regular. God, if you weren't here, I would have lost my mind. God, if you didn't show, I would have given up. God, if I would have been stressed out, strung out, but God, you showed up in my life. God, when I was young and I was looking and Tony was, he had it good. He was 16 years old. He was driving a Cadillac, but he was slinging dope. And I thought that looked good to me too. But God, you stepped in. You intervened. You made sure that I went a different direction because of the grandmamas, the great-grandma you placed in my life. God, when I thought what would have happened if I would have done everything I was big and bad enough to do? What if? And when you were, and after you finish with the what ifs, it ought to cause you to rejoice. To rejoice and to give praise to God for all that he's done for you. It was God that rescued you, God that helped you, God that brought you out. And after that, we ought to respond. Respond to the Lord's great commission by sharing the gospel message with other people. Like the woman at the well, when she had the conversation with Jesus. After it was all over, she went into town and said, come see a man that can tell you all about your life. Come see a man that can rescue you. Come see a man that can deliver you.
And that's our testimony. That's our mantra. That's our message to a dying world. Come see a man. Because I can tell you what he did for me. So we respond. But if by chance you're here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to have that relationship today. That's the good news for all of us today. Isaiah said it best. He was wounded for our transgressions, that he was bruised for our iniquities, that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. It's by his stripes that we are healed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're listening in today, if you're in the room today, I want you to let you know God loves you. And he wants you to have a relationship with him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, we admit that we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory. Your word declares there is none righteous, no, not one. But if we would believe that Jesus Christ, Father, your Son and our Savior, that he came into this world as a sacrifice to die for our sins, that he was hung on a cross, that he was buried, but 3 days later he rose up with all power. And your word said, if we confess this Jesus, your Son, the one that got up from the grave, this Jesus who came to rescue us and deliver us, if we confess this Jesus with our mouths, believe in our hearts, God, that you raised him from the dead, we shall be, will be saved. That settles it. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And with the heart, one believes to righteousness. You are our righteousness, Jesus. We stand complete in you. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Speak to a heart of someone right now. Let them know how much you love them. Draw them, Holy Spirit, as only you can. Father, for that person that's not connected to a local assembly, but they're a born-again believer, draw them. If not to this church and this ministry, somewhere where they can worship with other believers, praise with other believers, fellowship with other believers. The Living Faith Community Church is a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. So God, have your way. Holy Spirit, move. Again, do what only you can do. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, can we give God some praise? One more. So listen, if there's someone that's listening in today and you said, listen, Pastor, I heard that message and I feel God speaking to me, speaking to my heart, and I want to be connected to this fellowship, you can do that. Online, there is a new member ministry form that you can fill out. We ask that you fill that out, and I promise you on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.